My name is Caroline DeVries, for those of you who don't know me. My husband and Mark, of almost 40 years, have been here for half a year now at Grace. And we love it, so we're happy to be here. But because of that, we've, along with Patrice, my best friend, had to make new friends. So all of you we didn't know before last September. So I'm still learning names, and I'm prefaced this talk with, I love to have people over, but I haven't done it for quite a while, other than my family. So don't feel guilty, please, with what we are going to learn today, because I'm learning it as well with you. So I was raised in a Christian Dutch home, squeaky clean, along with seven other siblings and a host of aunts and uncles and cousins. So I'm used to a large family. Our doors were always open. People came in and out. And so that is not a new concept for me. People coming into our family of 61 now can become overwhelmed as the new husbands are checked out and thoroughly checked out. And so anyway, we added a foster sister to our seven siblings when she was in junior high. So my family, my mom never really stopped. Then girls that were pregnant and single came to our home, had babies, and they were loved. And so how did my mom do it all? I don't know. But still at 92, she loves to have people over. And her little condo now is only two bedrooms, but it's always full. And so with that, we are adding one more to our growing family. My son just announced they are having their third child. So I called her with the news, my mom. And her response was, oh, my, what wonderful news. You know, so she loves people and it shows. And that's what our talk is about today, is just loving people. Our homes are only a vehicle God has given us to love others, reaching out to those we meet and glorifying God in our homes. I hope the word spoken through God's word and through these chapters, which if you didn't read, you can read later, will challenge you to love other people. So before we start, let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for gathering this group of women here today. We thank you, Lord, for the homes that you have blessed each one of us with. We thank you, God, that it is your purpose that, as we will learn, to use our homes to glorify you and to love others. We just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So chapter 27 in our book this week was written by Georg, not George, Georg, Anderson. So I went on Amazon and found the book that he actually wrote about the silent witness. A signed copy by him. I guess somebody didn't need it anymore and they sold it. So his decorating, this is in the 90s and it's kind of looks like the Apple Farm. Lots of wallpaper and patterns. So styles change, but the words in your lap never change. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to okay, I'll go ahead of myself. His desire is to share with us how our homes can become a silent witness to the multifaceted work of God in our lives. We can miss the joy of seeing our gifts and our ministries developed in our homes. So God wants us to be content. That's our first word. Accepting God's present provision of shelter and clothing as sufficient. Huge today is... And we've, in our 40 years of life, have had much and have had a little. So, you know, whatever stage you're in today is learning to be content where God has you. A Scottish proverb says, do not judge by appearance. A rich heart may be under a poor man's coat. So we're going to look at that heart today. And then, of course, our faith is visualizing God's plan and responding accordingly. Can help us in receiving and sharing the blessings that God gives to us. Be sure that people don't want to come into your home to see what you have. Well, that is, hopefully, they don't. Some might, but rather that they are excited to just fellowship in your home. And George has done a great work in his book to help us do just that. Insincerity, which is the genuine earnest and earnest desire to help others without any thought of personal gain. We can bring a beautiful touch to others who we open our home up to. So we're going to walk through George's house. Georg, sorry. I got to call him George the whole time. And listen for these unspoken words. I hope you will learn from him as I did. So you were at the front door and greeted an outward expression of joy that is in your heart. Hopefully you felt with some anticipation of what was behind the doors. And that is just the expectation that God's promises are true. So a beautiful floral arrangement will greet you in his entry, along with lots of family pictures. Really, really important. And the reason that they are important to him was he wanted to express the loyalty that we find in our families that can be so broken today. And in front of those family pictures, she has Annabelle. Meet Annabelle, his wife, is a rock. And on that rock is the word grace. So I made the word grace in chalk. And she wanted you to know that God's grace has been in their lives and how that works in their family. And also in Matthew 11:28, Patrice is our reader.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Can you feel it as you walk through their entry? She hopes the rock will remind you to endure and stay the night and see that work that God accomplishes in our families. Along with the rock comes a scripture from Joshua.
And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.
So do you have objects in your home that talk about God's faithfulness? And we probably all do, but maybe they're in a box somewhere, stuck in a closet. But so I just encourage you to set those out, and they will become stories that you share with those that come into your home. So now we'll take a little break and do decorating tip number one. Find out your style. Everybody loves some kind of style. And there are books and websites and galore to help you begin to feel what feels comfortable to you. And the next thing is finding a color theme. And Georg calls that his ribbon of color that he begins to weave through his house. And you'll see like coral and periwinkle back then were popular, I guess. And so he weaves those through his house. In choosing paint, I told Benjamin Moore, Bakersfield Paint, I'd put a little... They gave me this. I'll send people to you. So these are great. Great, great, great to have. So as you start to visual what color you love, go, you know, and get a little quart or pint or the smallest one they sell and put it on your walls. Don't just choose a color and say that's it. But study it and find one that works. And then there are sheens for your walls. So they also have this to help you know, do I want flat, eggshell? Do I want pearl or satin or semi-gloss? So, important. I love eggshell on the walls, not too shiny, not too flat. Ceilings I like flat, but he paints his ceilings colors. So that's also a good thing. And then exterior, what do you put on the exteriors of your house? So these are available at that store for you. Next, pick a rug or a fabric. And I have fabrics. Miss Wanda or whatever, you know,
What do you call that on the
Vanna White, my Vanna. Wanda. Vanna. I brought, I have tons of fabric that I use Fabri-Cut and Trend in purchasing my color, my fabrics. They're expensive. So there's Joann's, Hancock's, lots of other places that are 50% off most of the time. But just in visualizing that, you know, you started off, that's the blue box, and there's the other one is a kind of a reddish box. But Georg's formula was, say you want to start, you have, your colors are blue and green, and you have a pillow of blue and green right here, and then you want to add some yellow to it, so now you capture the green from the green and blue, and you bring it over to the yellow and green, and then you want to add red, so you capture the yellow and go to your red. And so you begin to just meld those fabrics together. And any color today works. Any combination works. It's kind of fun. So, and then perhaps you have a lot of blues. Blue is your color. You love blues, but they don't all match. But that's good. You don't want them all to match. So use a variety of colors, even though it's the same color. So that's a little decorating tip. Next, we will walk into what Georg calls his daily room or the family room. And this is where relationships are built minute by minute in the routine activities of life. Here you will sense orderliness. Big word, easy word, or not easy word, an inexpensive word of helping our homes to become orderly. And then Annabelle talks about flexibility, and that was shown kind of in this room of being flexible with the placement when you have people over. You know, don't be afraid to move your furniture around. Or if somebody is in a wheelchair, you know, anticipate them coming and how can you best accommodate them. Little kids are coming over. You don't have any little kids. What do you do? So Annabelle has a coffee table, and she has little chairs around her coffee table. And leaves them there all the time with baskets of toys. She has a little train set sitting out. She has a little rocking camel. So things that you will know your kids are welcome here. So that's how she's demonstrates in the book on orderliness. Just a little idea. So do you see and feel the words orderliness, flexibility, sensitivity? Hope you're starting to get the picture. So not everyone has a big daily room. Not everybody has a big, huge room and can have all these people over to their house like Patrice and I could do today. But work with what you have. You know, like we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So a little decorating tip was in purchasing your big items, it's best to go kind of neutral. Just because you can always change pillows and accessories, but you can't always change your big furniture. Buy well. Only say, you know, spend your money on your sofa and your chair because it gets lots and lots of use. So and then using different doses of similar color. Mix your patterns. Use a rug. Change out a lampshade. Okay, you have an ugly old lamp. You want it to look a little bit better. So, on those half price, $12.99, and there, voila. Doesn't that look better? Well, we have just, I don't know, size-wise, but that's what I had. So, but anyway, an easy way to update a lamp. Paint a lamp. Paint your stuff. They have this chalk paint now. Anybody heard of chalk paint? Easy way to paint wood. And then in this daily room, create a cozy corner where you're comfortable. You can grab your child or grandchild and read a book and display photos. Get your photos out. Hard thing to do, especially updating them, but keep those old photos as well. and showing the strength of your family through the generations. Books, artwork, your kids are always making you pictures, frame them. And then your collections. Georg's is camels, so you'll see camels weaved through his whole house, just placed in different little places. And they're cute, so that's his thing. You know, when you go on trips, you always want to buy something. And so that's a good time to start your collection and use them. And flowers. Patrice's mom, we were talking about this little talk, and her big thing was flowers and candles. You know, always fresh flowers, $2.99 Trader Joe's. You know, so inexpensive. And as well as just silk arrangements. So that's Annabelle's common thread that she weaves through every room that she has. The daily room leads into the living room. More than spacious or how much it costs to fill this room are the stories of your objects. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Being creative, the unique cohesiveness and resourcefulness and thriftiness, which is today amazing. You know, Pinterest, who knows Pinterest? Can waste a lot of time on Pinterest, but you know, ideas are all you say is, I want a coffee table, and you put coffee table in and you'll find a zillion coffee tables or how to paint it or whatever. So very, very fun. Even the Old Testament speaks of decorating and gifts. Exodus, yeah.
And every skillful woman spun a gift for hands. They all brought with them a spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skills spun the gifts.
So God gives us gifts, you know, and I used to feel like decorating a home, that is just so worldly. But not if we use our home for others. It's a great, great ministry. So share your homes. George once received a dime. He kept that dime, and he put it in a little display case, and it tells a story. The story it tells is it was his birthday, and his friend was in the hospital. And his friend wanted to call him on his birthday, and so he had to call collect. Long time ago. He didn't have a cell phone. And so he wanted to repay George for that phone call. It cost a dime. And he, with his pride, was refusing the dime. And he said, no, you take that dime. And so he did, and he saved it. And so what a wonderful story of being grateful for the things that others do for us. And so although living rooms kind of are becoming a thing of the past, don't neglect to show those items. I have an old antique cabinet that has glass shelves in it, and I've placed like my mom's knitting needles and a thimble. And my grandpa from Holland, who I only ever met once, a little silver. And I don't really remember how I landed up with it. But after he passed, somehow, I guess my dad got it and I grabbed it. But his little pillbox. And I admired that the one time I met him. And so I have that to help me remember my grandfather. So set those out and share your stories of trials and afflictions. Good things to do. Another decorating tip is, you have an empty living room, like Stacy had, my daughter-in-law. So my castaways are now in her living room. But, you know, check out Craigslist and garage sales and estate sales. Great, great resources that are there, as well as all our magazines. You know, there's tons of magazines. Pottery Barn, free decorating advice, you know, look through it, learn from it, be creative, be resourceful. Frame your child's artwork. I don't have any frame, but it's a good idea. Repaint an old frame that, you know, is no longer the right color. Sew a drape or a pillow. Fabrics add a ton to your room. And then, again, don't throw away your old things of generations past. Like that linen tablecloth over there is from my mom. She's still here, but I stole that too when she downsized. But save those and use them. From Patrice in Spain, she gave me a beautiful ceramic dish over there. And that tells me a story of my friend. And I babysat her daughter, and she brought that back. So a couple things I do when I go into somebody's home to decorate is I ask them to clear the room out, not of furniture, but of all your pictures, accessories, and make three piles. Make a Goodwill pile for garage sale. Make a I have to use this pile, sentimental, and I don't know what to do with this pile. Wash it, clean it, dust it, move your furniture, vacuum, spring clean, fall clean, and get it ready, and then you have a clean slate with which to start with. So how I learned is we built houses and houses and houses, and we moved and moved. I've lived in little houses of 500 square feet for 2 years. I've lived in a mobile home. I've lived in 4,000 square feet, you know, as we were transitioning. And now I'm in a rental again and waiting to find the perfect little house to redo. So it's trial and error. You know, I remember when I was young, I had no clue, absolutely no clue. By trade, I was a pediatric nurse, and so I never went to school. But you just learn, you just by watching, and I even hired a decorator one time to help me. So from the living room, we go into George Georg's settling room, which is the master bedroom. And I liked how he explained his room. So you imagine settling down for the night, hence settling. However, the day's events may need to be brought to some kind of resolution. It's a big, huge burden looming on your shoulder, and there's no way you're going to settle down for a good night's sleep in that room. So he talks about having patience, giving up your expectation of a speedy resolution. And I can remember some nights with my husband. He's tired. He's worked long. And I'm ready to resolve something. And I remember going after him. Horrible, horrible time and way to do that. But Georg has a little chair and table and sofa in the corner of his master bedroom where they sit down and settle those issues that probably won't get resolved, but at least they've talked it through in just quietness. And so he also talks about it being a place of prayer and listening and thinking. So, and he talks about it, this is interesting, I thought, was that in that room you greet the evening and you greet the morning. And Genesis 1:5 talks about that. And then in Ephesians 4:26 and 27.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
And then in Mark 6:31.
And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure.
So, in this room, kind of get the feel of just quieting down, settling down after a long day. And then he talks about, I have that here somewhere. I don't know where it is. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Oh, well, not important. Decorator note. Georg says, don't buy big, beautiful, expensive bedroom sets. We all might have one of those, but no need to do that, especially for families starting out. Mix and match. It makes it interesting, costs less, and it adds to the creativity. And that is, I mean, it's just all over Pinterest, is just that mixing and matching. Pretty fun. Mine, I bought a full-on set. It all matches. But as you shop and study design, as you assemble your room, Don't fail to listen and to care and to put a mark on someone's heart, and that even if it in that room is your husband's heart. And patience and kindness and discernment are heard in that room. I hope you can hear that. From the settling room is Annabelle's hospitality room. In hospitality, which means eagerly sharing the resources of your home to benefit others, naturally flows into the kitchen. So we open up our homes to those we come in contact with, and one can hear the word generosity. Generosity, not being stingy with the resources that could benefit others. Here, barriers are broken as we sit at our tables. Hospitality doesn't come easy for most of us. As we invite others into our homes, things happen. Things get broken. Our chairs might get soiled. But it also involves sharing the burdens of our new friends as we sit around the table. But with gentleness, the display of tender care and concern in reaching out to others sparks a nurturing and warm atmosphere. And we all love to sit around a table and just talk, and we're good at it. And so open up those kitchens and share. 1 Peter 4:9.
Show hospitality to one another without grumbling.
So I know my kids used to grumble when I had people over because I made them clean up their room and help me clean up. But that's okay, you know. Get your house ready. You know, that's kind of what we're talking about, getting how to do that. And then inviting the people in. Georg has an island, and I think probably a lot of us have an island in our kitchen or a big counter. And for the informal dinners or lunches, they put the food out and they all gather in a circle and hold hands and pray. And that just right away, new friends, you know, you have that in common. And again, the ribbon of color continues. Books and camels can be seen here, a rug, a lamp. Soft light, lighting, important. If we were here right now, I'd probably have these lights dimmed if this were my house. Stacy knows that. Like, just the lamps. I love lamps. Lamps and tablecloths, huh? So how do you get started? How do you become the hospitable person that God actually requires of us? So plan ahead. If it's not on your calendar, it's not going to happen. And so the first thing you can do is schedule it. A Sunday guest. Remember those Sunday meals? Growing up, that was a big meal. And I don't know how my mom always did that either, but it was always an opportunity to invite somebody over after church. I can remember when we first moved to Bakersfield, all 10 of us went to this new little church, and there was a family of 7 kids, so they had 9, yeah. And they invited us over. You know, they didn't know we were going to be there, and they were just opened up their home and invited us. 18 years later, I still remember going to their house, and just the not spacious. They were poor. We were poor. It doesn't matter. That's not the point of hospitality. So involve your family on Saturday of gathering some things together. They can help you cook. You can potluck it. Or, as Patrice said, we go to hotels. We've been to hotels a lot lately. Make a list of people that you would like to have over. Singles, you know, love to be involved in other family lives. The widows need a place on Sunday afternoon. I was talking to Lori. They drive an hour and a half to get here, hang around in town, and then come back to church at night. So what a great opportunity to invite the Joneses, or not the Joneses, the Birds and the Joneses. They don't have a lot of kids, too. But just learning that, you know, just loving each other. So I asked Steve for what he would like Grace to look like in this hospitality area. And so Patrice has that. I won't go take time right now to go over it. But this is kind of his bucket list of wishes of what is being done and what he can visualize for the future. Right now, Tony Cogden is our deacon in charge of that area. So if any of you feel your heart tugging you, you have that gift, you want to use it, or even if you don't and want to use it, is forming a hospitality committee with Tony to begin to do that in just a more intentional way. I know all of us get together at different times in different ways, even just fellowshipping here, but sometimes it's good to intentionally invite somebody over. New Christians, great opportunity to share what God has done in your lives with those that come. New members, jot down those names when you find out who's the new members now as our church begins to grow. And don't forget your neighbors. The holiday season, great time. People love to come over. You love to go to somebody's house in the holidays. So start to plan now. Become a missionary host to missionaries coming into town. And another thing Annabelle has in her guest room is a guest book. And just to start remembering those that have come through your home. And then most importantly, let's pray that God can give us joy in service. Confess our selfishness and pride, because it costs. It costs to have people over. And costs, groceries and our time. So, but God promises a blessing. The innkeeper missed a blessing. Teresa is going to read from Luke 2, 4 through 7.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, and from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, who was betrothed, and was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger.
So, the innkeeper missed an amazing blessing of welcoming our Lord into their home. So, don't miss those angels that God might send that need a place to stay. And then in Matthew 25, there is also eternal blessings.
Then the king said to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you invited me. You visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer them, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, or thirsty, and gave you drink? And when did we see you as stranger and welcome you, or naked or clothe you? And when did we see you in prison and visit you?" And the king will always answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me."
So just another good reminder to love one another. And I always took that scripture as like we have to go out somewhere and do that work. I've never really used it as bringing someone into your home to do that. So hospitality in Annabelle's home continues to flow into a ministry room or the guest bedroom. Our eyes will see her compassion, not withholding time and resources to meet the needs of others. There's a clean bed, a clock, an empty part of her closet, a reading area, a stack of towels, a pen, a paper, a book, a luggage rack await each guest that comes to their home. But just like the Shunammite woman who reached out to Elisha and prepared a little room just for him. So a decorating tip is pamper your guests if you have such a room. And you can multitask a room, but if you have a guest room, great, great way. And as we get older and have empty nests, we are able to do that a little easier. And the ribbon of color in their home continues to go through this room. There's books and lamps and her artwork, a candle, fresh flowers, comfortable bedding, and of course a camel is in the guest room. So you get the idea. Not everyone is in the same season of life, but it's a great goal to have when you can do that. Then our last room in his home to look at is the banquet room. And so it is just reminding you to let serving be a goal of yours in Mark 10:45.
For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom.
So as we anticipate the wedding feast with our Lord, let us, like Annabelle, be excited about serving. Be attentive to your guests and be available, which means giving up your right to determine how your time and resources are spent. These words in their house shout out in their banquet room. So you may not have a lavish banquet room. That's okay. Just do your best, and your guests will be touched by your generous heart. Decorating point. Take out your old china. Once in a while. Mine's in a box right now. Use it. You know, it's something that, you know, somebody spent a lot of money on to give you. So if you have it, if you don't, go to Goodwill, Home Goods, mix and match. He talks about inviting 8 people and 10 show up. And he had a service for 8 on the table, all pretty set out. And like 2 extra people come. And so he's like, okay, just relax and grab 2 that don't match, and hey, you're good to go. So anyway, there really is no excuse to not have people in your home, and enjoy the blessing of blessing others. And like my mother says, every time I leave, come again. And I hope your guests will be eager to come again. Anyway, that's it.